I say good evening to you folks. We're going to make a start to the midweek service, and we're singing together 430. All the way my Saviour leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Tonight. He's here to speak, and that just gives my voice a little bit of a rest tonight. In the will of God, I'll be back on the Sabbath day to preach the word, so pray for us. It's left a little weakness like it did the last time, the old virus that came our way, but we're looking to the Lord for his grace and his help and restoration. We want to pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to the presence of God tonight in the worthy and the precious name of thy dear Son. We're glad to know that we have a representative in heaven tonight, our mediator seated at the right hand of the Father, one who prays for his people, one who has an interest in what is happening in his church on earth, and we know a very particular interest in what is happening here. As we draw nigh to the Lord, we know that he draws nigh to his people. And so we're guaranteed the presence of Christ. Where the two and three come together and many more here tonight, he's there in the midst. And so we pray from the beginning, we will have that very definite, conscious sense of the Lord's presence here with his people. May we be drawn out after him. May our hearts be warmed with his presence. We think of the two on the road to Emmaus when the Lord drew near, spoke to them, communed with them along the way, revealed himself to those two, and later on their testimony was that their heart burned within them as the Lord talked with them by the way. And Lord, we know if the Lord comes tonight and he is here, And he speaks to us through the hymns that we sing, through the word of God that will be opened in a short time. Our hearts will have that warmth about them too. Lord, give us that heartburn that is within. And give us desires for Christ. Help us to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind and strength. Very conscious that there are those that are sick tonight and laid aside. We commit them into your care. We pray for them. Some would love to be here, but they can't because of illness. And we just hand them over to the Lord tonight, to your grace, to your love and mercy. We pray that thou would comfort them, encourage them, strengthen them, and to know your healing touch upon their lives. Pray for Greg as he comes to speak tonight, that you'll help him. May he know the Holy Spirit's ministry in his heart. And as thou dost work through him, Lord, we know that you'll work through us too. As we sit and we listen to the word of God, we have the ministry of the Spirit, who is the great teacher, who will guide us into all truth. And so, Spirit of God, our teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. May that be our prayer. May it be the earnest desire of our heart tonight to be shown the things of God. Build us up in our faith. Help us to be strong in these days of darkness. Look around us in this world and, Lord, we see nothing but trouble and anarchy. The prophecies of your word coming to pass as we come near the return of the Savior. Lord, in the midst of the darkness, send the light, the glorious light of the gospel, and help us in our duties and responsibilities to be bearers of that light. As the Lord said, to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Help us, Lord, to be light bearers, therefore, and to lift up Christ for a perishing world to see. Hear these our prayers as we commit ourselves into your care, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, we do bid you welcome tonight in the Savior's name, those of you here in the building and those that are joining us on the internet. We bid you a very warm word of welcome. There's a few announcements to make. Our youth fellowship meets tomorrow night, and David, who's with us this evening, is the speaker, and he's speaking on Christianese, Words Matter. So the young people will look forward to that. David, what you have to say in anticipation, and the congregation here, we know, will pray for you and for them. Saturday morning is the open air at 11 in the centre of the town. It's also the cake sale and coffee morning in connection with our Christian school, and that's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and everyone's welcome. This is a fundraiser for the school, and we trust that you'll be able to spend some time here and encourage the ministry of our Christian school. In the evening, in the will of God, 7 o'clock, those that are going on vocational Bible school to Romania in the summertime, there's a meeting. We have organized this for you, so we hope that you'll all get it. I don't know why the welcome is now. That should have been earlier, but there you go. Good to see you. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting is at 8 o'clock. Sunday school, 10:30. The Bible class, 10:45. And the worship service then at 12 noon. In the will of God, we come back to our meditations from Mark. And we come to the summit of the mount again. We're not going to leave the Mount of Transfiguration. There's another message there I believe the Lord would have us to think about before we move on. Gospel meeting is at 7 o'clock, preceded by the time of prayer. And refreshments will be served after the evening service. Now, looking ahead, we want you to mark these dates in your diary. The 31st of this month at 7:30 is the Sunday School Social. And that's always a big event for the children of our Sunday School. Pray for it. Come and attend. Bring others with you. Then thinking of the Family Night and Friends Night on the 2nd of April, Derek Preston will come to relate his conversion story. And these invitations will be with us at the beginning of the week. So again, we want you to give them out physically and then share it also with your friends on WhatsApp or Facebook, whatever the case might be. Not too far to Easter time, and We're having a special Easter celebration when our choir will do a special Easter cantata. And this will be on two occasions. First of all, at the midweek meeting on the 6th, Thursday the 6th of April at 8 o'clock. And then the following Lord's Day, which is Easter Sunday, at the noon meeting. So this, in the reading of the word and in the singing of the truths of Scripture, will bring us face to face with a living Saviour. And I know how much we were blessed a number of years ago when they did the big cantata. This is a smaller one, but we look forward to it. A lot of hard work's going in behind the scenes. Many hours are spent practicing, so we pray for them that it'll all come together. This is what you can share. You've maybe seen it already. An invitation for others to come and be present on those two occasions. Being Easter, of course, is the convention at the Martyrs Memorial. And we are resorting again to a Saturday night meeting, which had been put off for quite a few years. So Friday the 7th at 8 o'clock is the praise service and youth night. Saturday the 8th, that should be 7:30, is the missionary night. Emphasis completely on missionary work. And then Monday the 10th of April at 7 o'clock is the church rally, when we bring as many of our people together for that Monday night meeting. For the benefit of Pavel, I hope that reads okay for you and that you're able to see what's happening at the Martyrs. In our mission board, the missionary rally is being shared. It's a special night for missionary work. Reverend Philip Gardner will be the speaker, and Reverend Ray Carscadden will bring a report. Mr. Chris Killen also will bring a report on his work with the addicted. Now, another very special meeting or meetings to announce tonight, and that is our Hebron Bible Conference. So I want to mention this now so that you can be in prayer. The 16th to the 21st of April, that's a large day, the 16th, the morning and the evening service, right through the end of the Friday night. And Dr. David Castles from Chelmsford will come and speak on the overall subject, the old rugged cross, the importance of the cross in the life of the believer. So that really gives you something to look forward to. I know you'll enjoy his ministry as he comes to break the bread of life, preach the word night by night. Then let the Bible speaker, having their special 50th anniversary service here on the 14th of April at 8 o'clock, the Reverend Greer, the Clerk of Presbytery, is the preacher. The Hebron Choir will be singing, and everyone is welcome. So celebrating the 50 years, Let the Bible Speak was formed here, started here through the ministry of Dr. Cairns all those years ago, and it's appropriate then we come back here for the meeting. We made this appeal on the Lord's Day in my absence, but books and Bibles are needed for the Kenyan bookshops, and if you have good literature at home that you no longer need and you're willing to part with that for this ministry, then please bring them into the church and we will get them up to Kilkeel and then off to Africa. There's a few announcements to make later on, but we're going to sing, first of all, 458. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labours increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace.
Thank you.
invitations to the Saturday event to do with the school. These little cards are at the door, and if you want to take one to remind you of the time, if you want to take others to pass them on, please feel at liberty to do just that. I want to thank Greg for his willingness to step in tonight and to bring the message. Trust the Lord will bless him now as he opens up the scriptures of truth and breaks the bread of life. I'll move the next slide on to your reading, brother. God bless you.
Well, good evening. It's lovely to be here, and it's always a pleasure to come to speak at Hebron, home church, of course. And I just want to thank you for all your encouragement, even to me as a student, and for all the love that you continue to show me and even my family throughout these past 3 years. I just want to read a few verses with you tonight from the Word of God. If you have your Bible with you, turn to Psalm 25. Psalm 25, and we're going to read the first 10 verses together. Psalm 25, and it's called there a Psalm of David, and therefore we know the author is David, the author of many of the Psalms, 75 of the 150, so half of the Psalms. And commencing the reading at verse 1, let's hear the word of God. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. And we'll end our reading at verse 10. We trust the Lord will bless it to your hearts. Perhaps we could just bow our heads for a moment and ask the Lord for his help as we come now to consider his word this evening. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, we just still ourselves in thy presence right now, thanking thee for thy lovely mercy to us, thanking thee, Lord, most of all tonight for salvation. Thank thee, Lord, for going to the cross and for even dying that awful death for the sins of thy people. And, O Lord, may we never lose sight of the amazement and the marvel of Calvary. O Lord, we thank thee that thou planned it from before the foundation of the world. Lord, nothing good in us but according to thy good and wise counsel. We pray tonight as the word of God has been read that you will just give help in the preaching of it now. Lord, you'll fill me afresh with the Spirit of God that I would just know thy help. I know thy standing beside me, Lord, giving me the words to say, Lord, even just in encouraging me, Lord, to preach with power tonight. Lord, I cannot do it of myself. I can do nothing of myself, and therefore, Lord, I ask that you will send the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit might infill me tonight, Lord, that he might take me up and use me, that, Lord, that I would be a mighty instrument, Lord, in thy hand. And, Lord, even for the people tonight that would hear thy word, may it be both the challenge and the encouragement that each and every one of us need. Challenge my heart first and foremost, Lord, and may that challenge the people here also. Oh, Lord, may we see Christ tonight and nothing else. Answer prayer we do ask of thee, for thy honor and for the glory of God we pray. Amen. Like most people, I love going on holidays. I love planning where I'm going to stay. I love planning what activities I'm going to do. I love planning what restaurants I'm going to eat in. See, generally just the idea of getting away from the inevitable rain will snow at the moment for a week or two of sunshine. It's enough really just to lift the mood. It really helps the positive attitude of myself. And I remember one particular holiday that I was on a long time before Bible college. I don't have that privilege anymore. And I went to a place in Africa, had a very bad experience there. I'm talking about the city of Marrakesh. And one particular evening on that holiday, probably around the middle of it, I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to be brave. I'm going to go out and I'm going to venture down to the market, one of the famous souks, and I'm going to do a little bit of shopping. And if you've ever been to Marrakesh, you will know that that can be quite an overwhelming experience. As you're surrounded by eager shopkeepers, even more eager shoppers, and very easily you can lose your way because of those congested streets in that city. Soon enough, I found myself being carried along with the hustle and the bustle of the crowd. I had lost my way. I didn't know where I was, didn't know my left from my right. And I thought at that time, I just want to get out of here. This was a bad idea. I wish I would have had someone to show me the way out. And at that moment in time, as I had that thought, along came a little boy, no older than 9 or 10 years old, must have seen the look on my face, and he offered to show me the way out. I thought it was great, the Lord's answered my prayer. But you know, very quickly, as we were traveling along those streets, I realized he wasn't bringing me to the exit. He was actually leading me further into the market. And I tried then to slip away from that untrustworthy guide without any fuss. But I was confronted by a few men. Those men demanded that I hand over all my money. Now, thankfully, I'm here to tell the tale. I escaped that with a little less money, but some good life advice. And so what did I learn from my experience in Marrakesh? Well, I learned firstly that shopping is dangerous. And I learned that you should not go shopping unless it's absolutely necessary. But I also learned something else, the importance of having a trustworthy guide. And you see, that's what this psalm here is all about tonight that we've just read together. Because David found himself in a dangerous situation. You read what he says here in verse 2 with me. He said, "Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." In verse 15, they had laid traps for him. Verse 19, David speaks about the hatred they had for him. And in verse 20, it tells us that they wanted him to fail. But you know, despite all the circumstances that David found himself in, we find him at peace. We find him content here. He's praying to the Lord. He's asking the Lord for deliverance. But as you read through the psalm, you notice something else about David. Because in verse 7, it tells us he wasn't a young man. He asked the Lord here, "Remember not the sins of my youth, but to remember thy unceasing love and mercy toward David that he'd shown in the past." Because David found himself in difficulty, and yet he could look back to his earlier years. David could be encouraged here. David had let the Lord down on so many occasions, but he came to a God who never let him down, a God who was trustworthy, a God who was that unfailing guide who was always faithful to David. And look what David goes on to say here with me in verses 9 and 10. Because that's really wants to be my text tonight. Verses 9 and 10. He says here, "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." As we read these verses together tonight, I want to simply consider with you the subject tonight, which is this: the believer's conduct in light of his unfailing guide. And there are three very simple thoughts that I want to leave with you from these two verses. First thing we see tonight here is the attitude desired, because look at how verse 9 begins. It says there, "The meek will he guide, the meek will he teach." And therefore the attitude desired of the believer tonight, of you and I, is to be meek. And that word meek here in the original language, it has a number of different meanings. We can read the word here, it can be translated as one who is gentle, one who is lowly or poor or humble. And as you think about through those descriptions, the picture we get surely is one who thinks very little of themselves. Speaks of one tonight who is desirous of being directed and governed by God. As we look around at the world tonight and we see everything that's going on, meekness and humility, it wouldn't be the first word that I would use to describe society. Rather, we find the opposite attitude. Much of society is proud. Mankind likes to boast of all the answers. They know everything that's worth knowing, and they have no desire whatsoever to submit to the will of God, to the teaching of God. And that attitude should not surprise us tonight, because whenever we consider the source of man's pride, which is, of course, man's heart, you see the many descriptions that the Bible gives regarding man's heart. Think tonight of Jeremiah 17:9. He refers to it as deceitful. He calls it desperately wicked. You know, sadly, pride tonight is something not solely associated with the ungodly. Because there are times whenever we can allow pride to enter into our hearts as believers. Maybe you disagree with that statement. I have no pride tonight. I'm humble, I'm meek. Well, does that not prove my point exactly? Because to say that you're proud tonight, if I were to stand here tonight and say I was proud, I'm doing anything but being humble. And Solomon, he warns against pride. If you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Listen to what Solomon says here. He says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. And so Solomon is warning against pride, but if you read on in verse 19, he gives some good advice for us all tonight. He says, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And if we think through these things tonight, it ought to cause us to examine our own hearts. It ought to cause us to ask ourselves the question tonight, have we come to this meeting with pride in our hearts? Have we thought pride thoughts about ourselves throughout this week? Because if that's the case in your life tonight, if that's the case with me tonight, then there needs to be that re-examination of our lives. There needs to be that refocusing away from the things of the world, away from the attitude of the world. There needs to be that focusing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's much to say throughout his earthly ministry. Listen to the description he gives of himself in Matthew chapter 11 and 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You see, Christ, he's to be our example in everything in life, and that is so very elementary, that's so very obvious as a Christian tonight. Meekness is included in that. And his earthly ministry, you look at his very beginning to his very end of his earthly ministry, it was one that exemplified meekness. It was meekness as he took upon himself human flesh in the incarnation. It was meekness as he was born there in a manger, in a feeding trough, surrounded by the animals. Meekness in his conduct throughout his earthly ministry. He was reviled, he was mocked, he was beaten by many, and yet Peter testifies in 1 Peter 2:23 that Christ reviled not again. Christ showed meekness in his obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. So Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 8. You think through all of these things tonight, and we're so quick to forget all that Christ has done for us, and I'm as guilty as anybody else. You think through all that Christ has done for us, how can we be anything but meek? Without Christ, we'll be nothing. Without Christ, we'll be on our way to hell. You see, the world's claim tonight is this, that meekness, it's weakness. And yet the believer, you and I tonight, were to view meekness as a blessing. Let me take you back to what Jesus Christ, he preached there in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through to 7. And he began that sermon by speaking about the many blessings, the Beatitudes as they're called. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And the word meek here in Matthew chapter 5, it's likened to the act of a reining in of a stallion, a wild horse that's unbroken. And you look at me tonight and you know I have absolutely no experience in that, so I'm not speaking from experience. But the rider, he mounts the horse. He tries to get the horse, he tries to tame it. And yet ultimately it is up to the horse itself to submit to the authority of its rider. And when you carry that through tonight to that thought of meekness, meekness is not weakness. But meekness is power under constraint. Because in exercising meekness as Christ has done, we truly will be blessed. It will please God. Was that not what God the Father said about his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, at his baptism? He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. See, very often the reason for a lack of meekness, it's the object of our comparison. And what I mean by that is we're so quick to compare ourselves to other believers. Well, I'm so much better than he is. I'm a better Christian than she is. I do so much more for the Lord than them. And yet such behavior can never manifest the meekness that this verse requires. Better tonight that we would do as we're exhorted to in James chapter 4 and verse 10. See, James says there we're to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Truly, it's only when we compare ourselves to the Lord tonight. His perfect holiness, all of who he is, that we fully realize our shortcomings. Our utter vileness, how undeserving we are, the least of the Lord's mercies. See, the closer a person is to the Lord, the more and more hideous the sins that you and I have committed will appear to us. And that's how David felt here in the psalm tonight that we've just read. He asked that his sins of his youth be not remembered in verse 7. Verse 11, that his iniquity would be pardoned. In verse 18, he asked for forgiveness of sin. And David here, in exercising meekness, he recognized something. He recognized his sinfulness. He realized he didn't deserve any help from God whatsoever. And yet we still find him pleading for mercy to be shown once more. It is the individual tonight who's humbled himself, who's humbled herself in the sight of the Lord, that will be guided in God's judgment, that will be taught his way. That's the thought seen here in verse 9. It says he will guide in judgment and he will teach his way. So not only do we have the attitude desired, but in those words in verse 9, we see also then the action displayed. He will guide. He will teach. You read those words and there's certainty associated with them. We could read them as he shall do it. Because of the one who said it, it's God speaking here. God who cannot lie. And in this action displayed here, I want to just break down those two little verses, those two phrases. The first one says he will guide. And the word guide here can be thought as of a treading, of a walking, of a leading. That's how we read it there in verse 5 of Psalm 25. He says, lead me in thy truth and teach me. In other words, he's saying, guide me in thy truth and teach me. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 42 for a moment. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 16. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 16. And I will bring the blind by a way which they knew not. I will lead, that's the word guide again. I will guide them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. And what Isaiah is stating here is that those tonight who have trusted in Christ by faith, promise is now given regarding guidance in paths not traveled before. See, the Lord will guide the believer in the paths of righteousness, the paths of holiness. And Isaiah says he'll do it by illuminating those paths that once stood in darkness. Is that not the case there back in the wilderness with the children of Israel? Yes, they had the pillar of cloud by day, but at night they were guided by a pillar of fire. It illuminated their dark paths. And the Lord has promised here tonight to be our guide in judgment. And judgment here simply refers to that which is good, that which is just. In other words, he's going to guide us in the right way because it's his way, which is perfect. Maybe you're asking tonight, well, why am I spending so much time emphasizing the thought here of guiding, of leading? Well, very simply, it's to highlight our great need of a guide. Many things in life where we need a guide that will be beneficial to us. Would have been beneficial in that experience I had there in Marrakesh to have a trustworthy guide. Someone to show me the points to go to, the things to see, the things to avoid. I say it's essential if you're an inexperienced climber, if you wanted to go climb Mount Everest. If you just had a whim one day you wanted to do that, it's essential that you have a guide with you to help you. And how amazing is it tonight that we possess a greater guide than any earthly guide, because we have the Lord. The Lord here who is called Jehovah, who is omnipotent, who is all-powerful. And the Lord, he will never allow his people to go astray. He'll never allow us to fall away. He's going to guide us in the ways of righteousness. That's David's testimony in Psalm 23. You'll know the words of verse 3, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness. So we have here the promise of guidance, but it also says that he will teach us. And the word teach here in the original language, it means a diligent teaching. It's an instructing. In fact, it means one tonight who desires to be taught. And that desire to be taught is something that characterizes David's life in many of his writings. You read through the Psalms, and time again, that's what we see. Psalm 25 and verse 4 tonight, he says, "Show me thy paths," or "Show me thy ways," sorry. "Teach me to know thy paths." And literally, David here is saying, "Cause me to know thy paths." The very next verse, again, he says, "Lead me in thy truth." He says, "Teach me." Psalm 27, another psalm of David, in verse 11, he says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Psalm 119, not going to read all 176 verses here, but 13 times we have that word teach translated in a number of different ways. And you see example after example tonight, and truly I find it remarkable. It's remarkable when you consider the one here who is desiring to be taught by God. It's David. It's David who's a seasoned believer. David who was God's man, that man after God's heart. You read through his life and he'd experienced much trials, he's experienced much difficulties in life. And yet in verse 9 we read that even in his elder years, after all his experiences, he still desired to be taught. He wasn't someone who thought he knew it all. He wasn't someone who thought he was too important to humble himself. No, David here, he shows his wisdom. He realized that without God teaching him, without God guiding him, he could do nothing. He could have no hope whatsoever of discerning or working out the way of godliness. Maybe really that should be a tremendous challenge to us all tonight. It's been a challenge to me. To never allow ourselves to think we're past teaching. Would anybody here tonight dare to say they knew more than David did? They'd experienced things like David had experienced. It was John Calvin who commented on this psalm. He even reaffirms that belief. Because he says here, if David, who was such a wise man in the ways of God, if he cried out for God's wisdom in his trials, how much more do we need to do the same? Because David's desire in Psalm 25, it's not to be taught David's way. It says his way. And that's referring to God's way. That's the way which we are to go. That's the course of life which we are to follow. And if I could borrow the words of David again from another psalm, Psalm 18 and 30, what is that way? It's perfect. Because David says, as for God, his way is perfect. And because it is perfect, the best place for you and I tonight as believers is to be walking in God's way. It's to be found continually sitting at the feet of Christ. It's to be found in such a fashion tonight as we've met to publicly pray, private prayer as well. It's desiring to be taught by the greatest teacher. You know, long after I got saved, just over 7 years ago, I spoke to a man of God and he pointed me to the words of Psalm 32 and verse 8. And he said to me, "Greg, if you follow this verse, if you allow this to lead you in the Christian life, you'll not go far wrong." And that verse says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with thine eye." And the more and more I read that verse, the more I realize what it's trying to teach us, because it's showing us tonight that you and I, we're so prone to wander. Wander away off the right path, and yet God promises here through the words of David, it should encourage us. It should encourage us because he's going to keep us on the right path. He'll do it by his instruction, by his teaching, by his guidance. You see, God says to every one of us tonight, this is the way, a child of God. Walk ye in it. And therefore, we understand all of this then. How's the Lord going to teach the meek his way? It's done principally through his word. His word contains all that we need regarding how to conduct ourselves as we seek to walk worthy of him. We're also taught, we're guided by the Holy Spirit who indwells us all, who daily sanctifies us, who conforms us more and more unto the image of Christ. But there are times in the believer's life that we need to be taught the way through affliction. Affliction designed by God to bring us back onto the right path. And David too, he had experienced this in his life. You think of what he says in Psalm 119, verse 71. I don't think I would have said this if I had been going through the afflictions David had been going through. He said, it is good that I have been afflicted. It's good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. See, David recognized that every affliction in life, it was for his own good, because it was helping him to grow in obedience to God's word. There is here the attitude desired, the action displayed, but thirdly and finally, and hopefully very briefly, the assurance delivered. Look what David says now in verse 10 with me. He says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and testimonies. And whenever you look at that word path here in its original language, it offers a very interesting description, because it's translated here as a well-trodden path. And the picture you get with that description, maybe you've watched a Western movie before and you have a wagon and you have horses that pull that wagon along, they have the big wooden wheels. And as those wheels travel over the same track time and time again, it starts to create an indentation on the ground, a track that you can follow. And you relate that thought to what David is saying here. He's speaking about mercy and truth. And so David is telling us that God has left behind clear traces of these things for us to see in our lives. You read God's word, and you don't need to look too far, but you read God's word, and very quickly it becomes apparent that those two things are side by side. You read about God's mercy, and very soon the truth follows as well. And just give you two examples of that. Exodus 34, verse 6. Speaking there about the nature of God, it says, the Lord God, who is merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. Then you have Psalm 85 and verse 10, which simply says, mercy and truth are met together. And the very fact that he's merciful tonight, it speaks of his goodness. The fact that he's truth, it speaks about reliability, it speaks about stability or certainty. Certainly in fulfilling all he's promised to do. And again, David uses the same word mercy here in the Psalm tonight in verse 6. Because he says, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. And it is the word loving kindnesses that we can translate as mercy. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy mercy. You see, there's double mercy. There's abundant, there's overflowing mercy with the Lord. That's what David's trying to get across. Because despite his danger, he could comfort himself in the knowledge that he could trace God's providential steps of mercy and truth that have been constant, they've been unceasing toward him from his earliest years. David could follow them. That's what he's expressing here in the words, they have been ever of old. They've been from all eternity. There's never been a time in David's life that God had not been these things to him. His assurance tonight was therefore not in himself, but it was in a God of heaven who cannot change. Because the same God who'd been merciful to David in the past was going to be merciful to David again. Perhaps there's one tonight and you find yourself in similar situations to David, a trial, an affliction, a difficulty in your life. I trust as you read through this psalm, the whole psalm, I would recommend it to you, you'll be able to find comfort as you recall how God has been merciful to you, how he's been merciful to me. Merciful, and despite all of our sin, he has provided the only way of eternal life in heaven. He provided his Son, his only begotten Son. How he has, how he will be true and faithful in keeping us for all eternity, because he says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He's faithful to us tonight in his unchanging love, despite our changeability. Our love for him, it waxes and wanes, it increases, it decreases. But he has loved us with an everlasting love. He's faithful and true because he certainly will accomplish all that he's promised to do in our lives, because he can do nothing but that. Because of who he is, because of his very nature. Because he's a God who cannot lie. But you look at how verse 10 ends here, because that highlights our necessity. The obedience that we need to have as a believer. Because all of those things, all of that guidance, all of that teaching, it is unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. As we seek to bring this study to a close, we've been brought full circle again. We've been brought to consider our need of meekness, our need of submission as we seek to exercise right Christian living. God has promised to teach, to guide us in the ways which we should go, and therefore every believer, myself included tonight, the very least we ought to be willing to do is to do as commanded here, is keep God's law. It's abide here in his truth as we attempt to live a holy life in obedience to his will. And the psalmist emphasizes that because he tells us we're to keep. We're to obey them, we're to observe them. That's what that means. But you know, it's a continual thing. That's a sense of what David is saying. It's a continue to keep them. It's a continuing to observe them. That's very easy to read tonight, but it's much more difficult to actually carry out. So how can we do that tonight? The only answer I can give is by keeping our minds, keeping our hearts firmly focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon his finished work, upon what he has done, and by seeking with the help of the Spirit to live that more holy life. And you know, surely, as we come to pray tonight, we've come with that attitude. That's something we can pray about. If we're honest tonight, it's something we all need to pray about. Can we really say that we are where we need to be or where we should be in the Christian life? Do we not all need to be taught humility every single day? It's so easy to get prideful and puffed up. Every single day we need to ask the Lord to teach us his ways, to guide us in his paths. And I trust the Lord would do that for us tonight. That he would take what I've said tonight and he would really impress it upon our hearts. Because that needs to be our desire every time we come to worship. That we would leave this place different to how we came in. May the Lord do that for us tonight. May God write that word upon our hearts tonight. I trust it has been that challenge that we all need. It's been an encouragement as well to you. At this point, I'm just going to hand back to Mr. Park, and he has some announcements to make. Thank you.
Well, we thank Greg on your behalf for the word, and we trust that we'll take it to heart, things to pray about here tonight, and mull over in our minds and hearts. Before I say a few things, we're going to sing 443, He Still My Soul, The Lord Is On My Side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. And it's all about being still. And that's a great text. And I know it means a lot to you folks tonight. It means a lot to I know to Ivor. He was just telling me yesterday, it was 2 years ago yesterday when his father passed away. That time has gone so, so quickly. Be still, my soul. folks today, the men and the women that we remember in prayer, who keep before the Lord, who need his touch, his healing touch in their lives. We've been asked to put Andy Bummer, that's Drew's father, onto the list. He's in hospital. He's an aged man, and he's not well. So remember Andy before the Lord in prayer. But also ask you to remember Sister Pat. Pat Mills had to go to hospital yesterday, and just difficulty with an ongoing problem that she has with her lungs and breathing. So remember Pat tonight, that the Lord will be with her and touch her and heal her. And remember Andrew as well. Andrew hasn't been well. I'll say something about that in a wee moment or two, maybe best said when we go offline. But Andrew's at home tonight and is recovering from illness. Now, Wednesday, we were in Kilcrow, and this is a historic moment because it was Greg's first time speaking in one of the schools, so we've got this photographic evidence for him to keep as a memorial of the first school that he has gone into and spoken. I was there just to assist and play the accordion. Well, the children listened very well, and it was a science project that he did, a great talk on the gospel, and the children sat up, and I believe they've learned things. I want you to pray for our youth challenge Tuesday night. We had a great crowd just for your sitting of children that came in from round about the town, listened to God's word. I want you to pray for Ukraine. We continue to remember that country. We keep our eye on the news, and we see what's happening there, all the devastation that is being caused. I know there's an appeal from Donald. They're looking to send food into some of the worst stricken areas, and that's maybe something we can help with. I want you to pray for Lena. Got this just before coming over tonight. Lena was in touch, and they were out visiting today, going along some of the difficult roads, visiting the poor, and ministering the word of God, she and her husband. And then I think it was the return journey. She said the car broke down. So this is the kind of roads that they're trying to negotiate and travel over just to get to some of the most needy people. I said to Lena, we'll be praying for her tonight. And she said, please send the congregation our greetings and our love. Got this today from Pastor Bibby. One of the projects that we're helping with is this large greenhouse that will grow food for the poor. It's about 30 metres by 60 metres, or maybe it's 20 metres, I'm not too sure, but it's quite a large construction that they're erecting there just beside the church. And then this little facility, and that's what it is, it's Stefan's home. Some of you have been there. We always advise those who visit Stefan's home to visit the shopping centre first of all and use the facilities there. But this what you see now is a vast improvement to what it used to be, and we're thankful to the pastor for going and constructing this so that the family can benefit from it. There is another book coming out, 100 Days After Lockdown. It's gone to print now. We're hoping that this will be ready for Easter time. And so we're just asking you to pray that as it goes out, it'll be a blessing to folks that will receive a copy of it. Daily Light this morning began with this text. I know some of you read it every day, and you probably read it this morning. From James chapter 4 and verse 14, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And so what is your life tonight? James gives the answer, a vapor, a vapor. So we see some children here. We've got Casey, we've got Cassia, and Kyle. Then on the other end of the scale, we've got some of the older folks. We'll not single you out. But today also on Facebook this morning, I came across a picture with the same text. And you just apply the text to what you see there. Just a little girl looking into the mirror, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It doesn't take too many years to get from childhood to old age. And brethren and sisters, that's what our life is. A vapor. And it's only what's done for Christ that will last. We're coming to our time of prayer as we say goodnight to those that are joining us on the internet. Trust that the Lord will be with you and keep you, bless you. You've been instructed tonight from God's word, from this great Psalm 25. May you and the ones that are here take it to heart and help us to live by it, pray about it, and be that those meek Christians that look to the Lord for his wisdom and guidance every day. So good night.